our apologies indicate that some of our members have gone to the oversight in the other portfolios, and they tried indeed to inform me, but also it was critical for us to sit because we've got very special issues that relate to the payments now that we are hitting the ground running on the issue of transformation and actually trying to fully implement that. I therefore thank you very much those members who resisted to go to this oversight, and ourselves too could not go to the oversight because primarily we wanted to get in touch with concrete issues on the issue of implementation of our agreement with SAPO, especially members that were also booked off, others sick, but they managed to say, let's be there for our poor. So we will waste no time. But I really give apology to those people who still need to pick up something because we have just arrived. So saying we mustn't take something now will delay us having to break at some stage. It's better to have a working something. I'm not able to say working breakfast or what because it doesn't seem it qualifies to be any, but it's something to take or a cup of something. I am now ready to allow SASA, I can see the CEO, but the normal rule is that having made a broad apology for people, including the minister who is with the is part of the land committee big issue, she has to be in that meeting and it's sitting at the exact time. So that apology has been verbally forwarded to me, and I knew how it is important she be there. So I will allow the secretary to follow the rules by ensuring that he gives us the apologies so that they can be confirmed. It's in your court, secretary.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, and all members and the SASA officials on this meeting after a long break. I have a few apologies with me. I just want to also confirm that the minister also submitted a written apology. There's another one is from the deputy minister who indicated that she won't be with us today due to a meeting that she attended, a study visit for the promotion of empowerment for people with disabilities and mainstreaming network in Mozambique. So she attended that conference from the 12th to the 16th of August. Another one, we have Honorable Malchas, who's also been booked off from the 13th of August to the 27th. And another one is from Honorable Fanda Merve, who indicated that she has a meeting scheduled at the same time with the chief whip, and thereafter she will be asked to attend to other issues. Another one is from Honorable De Kok, who indicated that she won't be with us today because she's attending, she has a by-election in her constituency. And then from next week, from the 18th, she will leave for Finland until the end of month of August. She indicated that she wrote a paper titled Rethinking Socioeconomic Development in the 21st Century, which was selected to be presented in the National Conference. And she hopefully that the committee might be interested for this paper, and she's willing to present the paper to the committee. Chairperson, those are the few apologies I've received.
I put the apologies to the floor for approval, honourable members. Thank you very much, honourable court. So there are no issues about it. They are welcome. Can we then allow the CEO to lead us in this session? Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, the members of the committee, my colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity to report to the committee today. We would like to apologize that we couldn't be able to present in July in person to the committee due to the schedules that were really clashing, and mostly we were on the ground regarding the glitches that we were experiencing. We really apologize. But in that regard, also we want to assure the committee that the issues that were prevalent in July have since been addressed, and will give progress report in that regard in our presentation today. These challenges, although they were of technical nature, but others were of a process nature, but all of those have since really been addressed. So the presentation today will just give the status of where we are from April to date, and also indicate what remediations we put in place to make sure that the payment continues smoothly. We will also highlight a few risks that we anticipate and what mitigation action we are putting in place. And also lastly, we would indicate that the preparations for the next payment cycle is underway, and will indicate figures of the card swap and how much we have swapped or how much close we are to the target that we should be able to phase out CPS by the end of September. So all that will be covered in the presentation. And also, Chairperson, that although the presentation is quite detailed, some of the slides may be for leisure reading by the committee members, but we thought it is important that they are reflected in, as part of this report. I have our Head of Strategy, Rapatle, to take us through the presentation, if it is in order, Chairperson.
Thank you, Sino. Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. In the presentation, I'll focus on the progress that has been achieved from April to August 2018, the payment challenges that we have experienced, and the remedial actions that we have taken. We'll also talk about the progress that we have made in terms of phasing out the services of CPS and the payment plans for September 2018, and also we'll touch on what we'll do from October when CPS is out of the picture. In terms of the payments from April to August 2018, when we started in April, we had CPS paying 3.16 million people. So far, we have managed to reduce the numbers of the people that were paid by CPS. In August, CPS was given a payment file to pay 1,098,669. The majority of the beneficiaries have gone into banking infrastructure. But within the banking infrastructure, there's also the Coast Bank beneficiaries, which I'll give details of. When we started in April, there were only 2.3 million beneficiaries that we were paying through the banking infrastructure. As of today, we are at 9.7 million that we are paying through the banking infrastructure. Also, when we started in April, we did report to the committee that we had to reach a bilateral agreement with Grindrod for 3 months when there were technical glitches to pay the SASA beneficiaries who are holding the SASA card but transacting through the NPS. We phased out that agreement. The agreement was for 3 months, but within 2 months period we were able to deal with the glitches and SASA took over the payments thereof. Therefore, the agreement with Grindrod was completely phased out. The total number of beneficiaries that are paid by CPS in August is sitting at 1 million. SASA has managed to successfully reduce the number of beneficiaries paid by CPS by 2 million to date. We moved from 3.1 to 1 million. But what has happened is that even when we issued the payment file and CPS started paying, we continued with the card swap process. And as of today, we have moved from 1098 to 721,000. So already we are working in progress to ensure that CPS is out by October. Hopefully by the end of August, we'll be below 500,000 so that September is the last payment cycle for CPS. I will indicate what are the, which provinces will CPS be working in September. The rest of the provinces, SAPO, will be paying the beneficiaries. In terms of the table that we have provided, we just gave a schematic diagram that shows the breakdown of the provinces in terms of how we have reduced CPS figures from April until to date.
Now coming to progress on the bank,
we've also, as I've indicated, moved from 2.2 million to 9.7, but out of the 9.7, there are 1.6 million that are paid, beneficiaries that are paid through their own bank accounts or the commercial accounts which they have selected. The rest of the beneficiaries are either with Grindrod or with SAPO, which I will go into details thereof. In the Grindrod file, currently we are sitting at 5.5 million beneficiaries. However, the 5.5 million beneficiaries are split into two. There's beneficiaries that are using the old SASSA card, and then there are beneficiaries that are using the EPE account, or what we normally call the green card, which are sitting at plus minus 2.5 million. And the ones that are using the old SASSA card are the ones that we are busy migrating from the old card into the new account. So in terms of the statistics, it may appear as if Grindrod has most of the beneficiaries, but majority are still the old SASSA card that we are busy migrating to SAPO, or some are choosing to go to their own commercial accounts. So by the end of September, we should be giving a better picture around that. We have also made provision to allow for the phasing out of these beneficiaries. After September, we'll still continue to migrate these beneficiaries until the end of December. Should there be beneficiaries who have not migrated by end of December, we will automatically migrate them, or because after December, we will not be paying into the old SASSA card. I will go through the beneficiaries that are paid by SAPO. When we started in April, SAPO only had 31,448 beneficiaries which were using the Mzansi account. Today, at the beginning of August, SAPO paid 2.5 million beneficiaries. And of the 2.5 million beneficiaries, only 233 are Mzansi account. The rest are belong to the new SASSA card. So the increment in the SAPO beneficiaries has been very exponential, and it was largely influenced by the card swap process that we have engaged on jointly with SAPO to ensure that we move people from CPS into the new payment environment. There were payment glitches that were experienced in July, and this affected plus minus 700,000. In July, as I indicated, we had 936,000 beneficiaries in SAPO, and out of that, 700,000 beneficiaries belong to the new SASSA card. These are the only beneficiaries that had real technical challenges. Not all of them, but majority of them. If we look into the BankServe report, by the first day, there was 25% success rate in terms of people who were able to transact in the ATMs, and 50% success rate on those who went to the point of sale devices. The rest had problems. We could not successfully pay the beneficiaries. And when we investigated the problems, we realized that it was a technical system within SAPO, which was configured in such a way that it could not deal with the high load or high volumes of the SASSA transactions. Subsequent to that, the CEO organized a meeting with Telkom, and we made arrangements, and we were able to get industry to work with us to work on the technical glitches. And I can indicate that in terms of the systems problem, when we went to the August payment, all the technical systems problems were dealt with. We migrated the system, we moved it from the SAPO environment into the Telkom environment, because that's where all the banks are also transacting from. We were also able to increase the volumes in terms of the lines, And if the members need the details, Mr. Magondo can help me in terms of explaining how we dealt with this. But all I can indicate is that the major glitches that we had was the late processing, and the late processing was in terms of as you transact, people, like as we were putting people into the system, at the same time when people were trying to withdraw, because of the volumes, it increased the volumes and the transaction rates doubled, and sample system could not deal with it, with that. There was also the issue of the connectivity link between SAPO and BankServe, which was very low. We have also increased that. The other issue was the issue of the over-the-counter limit that SAPO had. We were, beneficiaries were forced to withdraw two times or to withdraw less than 1,600 that they originally agreed to. So subsequent to that, we have migrated the benefit, the system from SAPO to Telkom. We have also improved the host environment. We have improved the connectivity with BankServe. We have also upgraded the connectivity to the end user devices. We have also separated the card swap system from the payment system so that when there's a problem with the payment system or with the card swap system, it doesn't affect the other ones because it was also affecting the volumes rate. Further remedial actions that we did was also, we also went further to go and talk to the industry, because what happened is that in as much as we pay through SAPO, but beneficiaries transact in the banking environment, they also transact in the retail environment. So we've had industry involvement to check what were the glitches and how we can support them and how they can work with us to ensure that we support SAPO. We had an intensive workshop where they highlighted the challenges, and out of the workshop we agreed that within the bigger retail where there's high volumes, the industry agreed that we can bring the SAPO people and the SASA people, even in Pick and Pay and whatever, to do, to deal with the whatever beneficiary challenges. But also if there's a need for PIN reset or whatever, they have given us the space to work in their environment. But we've also established a line or a communication, WhatsApp group with the retailers and the banks. When they experience a challenge in their environment, they are able to alert us on time so that we can immediately dispatch people to go there and work with them. We've also went further to work with ongoing engagement with Telkom to ensure that with Telkom, whenever there's challenges, they alert us or we alert them so that we ensure that there's a speedy response to the actions. And what happened is that the minister, the CEO, and the CEO of SAPO have also gone into the media to talk to beneficiaries and allay them of the fears and ensure that they we apologize for the inconveniences that were caused in July. What we can report is that by the 6th of July, our response rate or transaction rate had improved to 99%, and this is not something that we got from SAPO. We got it independently from BankServe to show that beneficiaries could transact after we have addressed some of the problems, but we still went further to do other intensive measures to ensure that by August there were no challenges. So when we came to August payment, already we were ready. We had dispensed our staff to all the sites. There were a few challenges that were experienced in August payment cycles, but those did not necessarily relate to the system challenges, but they were normal technical small glitches that we are working on. And as I indicate, in August payment, we paid $1 million from CPS, 7 from other banks, and 2.5 from SAPO. So far, the payments within the cash environment are still ongoing, but within the banking environment, we have already transacted. I will just indicate the transaction success rates with SAPO. I've included them in the slides for members to see that there has been a drastic improvement from the July payments. We activated our staff and our help desk to the payment areas to ensure that there's no problems, or if where there are problems, people are directed. The a major challenge that we had in August, if I have to summarize, in terms of the ITPS, is that in the morning it was a bit slow, but once we started working, the system was working across the board. We never had people having technical challenges in terms of their system. In terms of the issues, the other things that we were struggling with was that because SAPO is starting to deal with the volumes, there was late arrival of cash at the different SAPO outlets and the SAPO branches, even at the areas that we had identified for pilot sites. And this was more the GPO, the security companies that were delivering money that indicated that there were challenges in terms of packaging and delivery of money. But we are working on that to ensure that come September, because we'll be paying large volumes in SAPO, that technical glitches is addressed. We've also worked on, the other challenge is that because some of the pay points have been decommissioned, there are beneficiaries who went to those pay points, and when they got there, they could not get their money. But CPS was operating there now with a green card, and beneficiaries, they had the expectation that they would be paid, and they were sent back. And what we did was to dispatch our officials so that they can guide the beneficiaries where to go. In some cases, we even provided transport to beneficiaries so that they can go to other areas. There were also challenges with the PIN reset. A number of beneficiaries had forgotten their PINs, and we needed to put PIN reset sites. Normally, the PIN resets happen within the SASSA environment or the post bank, but we found that most beneficiaries, when they went to retail, they had forgotten their PINs, and as they did that, they had problems in transacting. There were also issues of beneficiaries that reported that they could not get their money in full, and we went out to do the investigation. Only yesterday we were told by CPS we haven't received a formal communique to say there was a system glitch on the old SASSA card, which led to some of the deductions. And once we have received the communique, we'll be able to investigate. But they also indicated that they are busy refunding those beneficiaries. So some beneficiaries did not get 60 rand, some did not get 40 rand. We really were worried because at that time we could not pin to the real cause of that challenge. There's also limited services at post office. Not all post office outlets were dispensing cash. And in terms of the list that we had, or that we had given to beneficiaries, we had given them a full list of post office outlets, only to find that some were not ready. Some was due to the late arrival of cash, and some was the issue of stealing of the cables, the copper cables that transmit information. So the systems were not working. So some of the beneficiaries went there, and there was a problem that the infrastructure, they could not get their money, so they had to be redirected somewhere. And another thing is that because of the volumes of and the numbers of people, in some cases we had long queues and we didn't have toilet facilities in the sample outlets and the chairs, and we are working on those challenges. In terms of the cash payment plans, as I indicated that we have paid 1 million with CPS, as of today, when I received the information last night, we were on the 6th of August, we are at 811 that we have reduced from CPS. As of last night, I received the updated figures. We have gone to 721,000. We are hoping that by the end of this week, the figure would be less than 700,000. Every day, people are doing cash swap. We are intensively moving people from CPS so that come the end of August, we don't have any beneficiary that is still with CPS. What we have done as a mitigation further to this is that any beneficiaries who don't present themselves for cash swap, we have also provided a mechanism for auto-migration or auto-cash swap, where we will be able to migrate people automatically, and when they come to confirm, what we'll do is that automatically we'll give them the new card and they'll be able to receive the cash at the new site. This will start in September so that come October, we understand how the system works and we are able to communicate effectively. And then there are beneficiaries who continue to receive money at the cash payment site. So what are the interventions that we have made for this? We have been engaged with SAPO. SAPO will be the ones that is paying money at the cash payment site. Obviously, SAPO is still limited in terms of capacity. We are busy improving the capacity. But what we have done is that in August, we did the pilot in 18 sites across the country. 8 were in Northwest, 2 in Eastern Cape and KZN, and 1 in each of the remaining provinces. And during the pilot process, we were able to dispense cash to beneficiaries. Yes, there were lessons that we learned there in terms of the system. In some cases, we had to do it manually because the system was a bit slow, but we have learned the lessons. And yesterday, I can confirm that in the Eastern Cape, at the pilot site that was held in the Eastern Cape, the system was working effectively. People were able to be given receipts. And as we move forward with the remaining pilot sites, we should be able to improve on the issues. And the other challenge was that some of the What do they call it? The CIT companies that SAPO has contract with, some of them don't, the contract doesn't allow them to move to the remote areas in terms of transporting cash. So they have gone on an extended tender in order to ensure that in future we have a broader tender that agrees, that goes to all the areas, so that come September when they start to pay more beneficiaries, they can be able to reach all the far to reach areas. We've also had in September, what we'll be doing is that SAPO will pay all the cash beneficiaries in Gauteng, Free State, Northwest, Western Cape, and the Northern Cape. And CPS will serve the remainder of the provinces. Come October, we'll phase out CPS across the country. What we are doing is that we are increasing the pilot size so that we can see the bigger margins that SAPO will be able to do. So we are starting with those provinces that have few beneficiaries that are in cash pay points. There's also continuous interaction with retailers and banks who have indicated the willingness to serve in some of the remote areas. We have also put a transfer cash for those beneficiaries. Like in some of the pay points, you'll find that there's only 5 beneficiaries, or some of them are just 40 or 20. So to take a cash in transit people to this is very expensive. So what we are working on is that in those areas where we have few beneficiaries, it's much better to move beneficiaries to where there's a payment infrastructure and move them back to their residential areas. And this will be mainly for the elderly, not necessarily for the children's grant. The next slide just gives you the breakdown of where we did the pilot trial. The areas that are marked in red, these are the areas that have been earmarked for pilot, but because of the unrest in those areas, we could not do the pilot. But what we did was to take those beneficiaries, because they were already available for pilots, we moved them, we provided transport to go and get them paid in other areas. So yesterday, the payment, we were doing the pilot in the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape. The Limpopo one was not successful because of the unrest in that area, and we could not move into the area, so we identified a different site. Today, there's another one in Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Free State, Northern Cape, and KZN will continue during the course of this week. Our staff have been deployed to support the pilot sites. What happens is that when a beneficiary comes and they have a new SAPO card, we direct them for payment. Those that still have the old SAPO card, what we do is that we ensure that they go to the areas where they can get paid, but also we facilitate card swap immediately. But most of the beneficiaries, we didn't have to do it in most of the sites because already these beneficiaries had already been cash swapped. And then the committee also requested us to present on the work of the panel of experts. What we can report on the work of the panel of experts is that they report to the Constitutional Court. We have been invited on a monthly basis to go and give progress in terms of what we do. But other than that, after the challenges of July, they called a workshop with us and SAPO just to check whether we are progressing and some of the challenges. And so far they have released 7 reports, and in the report they identified some of the challenges and some of the issues that were raised. They were worried that whether SAPO will be able to do the cash payments. They've also been visiting the pilot sites and also the cash payment sites just to identify issues before they compile the report. And in our monthly report to the panel, what we ensure to the Constitutional Court, we ensure that we address issues that have been raised by the panel. And so far, the payments that have been made to the panel reports to directly, their administration is managed by the AG's office. What they do is that they pay them and bring the invoice to us, and we pay them to fund the AG in terms of the work that they have done. In 2017, it was $6 million that was paid to them. In 2018, it's 3.2 so far. And according to the Constitutional Court, their work is up till the end of September, but we are not sure whether the Constitutional Court will extend the contract or they will stay with us after September. I think that summarizes the work that we have done. There are a number of risks that we have identified. On the risk is that we anticipate if there could be fade out all beneficiaries during the card swap by 30th of September. So we've gone on robust communication. We have also appointed auxiliary social workers and social workers to go to do house-to-house visits. We have identified all the beneficiaries in terms of the numbers, where they are, and the addresses. In some cases, yes, beneficiaries move, because when they registered on the system, somebody would have been in the Eastern Cape, but we find that they've moved to Cape, to Gauteng or to Western Cape. But in most cases, we have been able to narrow it down, and we've given those social workers the addresses and the information so that they can go and tell the beneficiaries to come and do card swap. But other than that, we have developed a system to say those who don't come to do the card swap by the end of August, we implement what we call the auto-migration into the SAPO system, where we open accounts for them automatically, and when they present themselves, then we'll give them the card when they present themselves. But what we are seeing is that some of them may not be coming because there could be some possibility of fraudulent grants, but we'll be working on that. There's also the issues that both SASA and SAPO have had labor disputes. In terms of SAPO, SASA, they haven't had an impact in terms of the payment, but we are engaging with labor to address the challenges. But in terms of SAPO, in July, they also contributed in terms of to the payment challenges because some of the SAPO branches could not open and people were blocked access into those units. So what happened was that SAPO had to put transport to take beneficiaries to other places for payment. The other thing is the issue of the use of PIN, because most of the beneficiaries are used to the biometric. So when they were migrated, there are those who had problems with the use of PIN. For those who are the younger ones, the auxiliary social workers, as part of their mandate, is to continue to help them and guide them. But for those that want to continue to utilize PIN, the over-the-counter services of SAPO will make provision for that. And as we have indicated, for those areas in the remote areas, SAPO will present themselves and they will be using the biometric to continue to get their payments. In terms of the other risk is that there will be insufficient cash at retailers and also at the SAPO outlet. We've had that in July, that when some of the retailers did not have sufficient cash when beneficiaries went to withdraw. What we have since done is that with our engagement with the retailers, what we have done is that we continue to communicate to them to say this is the day that we are depositing money, so anticipate that you will have high volumes, and then they are able to order cash or they don't necessarily go to bank the money that they have in the retailer. And with SAPO, we are helping them in terms of cash projection so that in future we don't have this challenge of insufficient cash. And then in terms of migration of beneficiaries to SAPO outlets, banks and merchants may increase the risk of robberies. We have seen that in the last month, when we piloted, we've had 7 robberies across the country. But we are engaging with SAPS and the NetJock, and we have identified that they have identified the high-risk area, and they have developed a plan which they cannot communicate to us because it's a risk mitigation plan around it. And in terms of overcrowding, we are seeing the issues of overcrowding, but we're working on staggering the payments so that once we have agreed on the issues and negotiated with the beneficiaries, we will come with a plan to stagger the payments so that not everyone is paid on the first. So we're looking at prioritizing the older persons, and the children's grant will be paid on the later day. But we have to negotiate both with SAPO, with the industry, because the retailers also have challenges. They are coming with a proposal that we should think about the 15th, but even themselves, they are not agreeing on the number of on the days that would be suitable for them. And we also have to communicate with beneficiaries because they have financial obligations in terms of their commitment. So once we have a staggering plan, we'll share it with the committee. Our recommendation is the committee to note and support our progress so far and the challenges that we have experienced and the remedial actions, and to continue to support us to communicate with beneficiaries in terms of ensuring that we phase CPS out by the end of September. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Maybe before I can leave, Chair, I just received an SMS from one of the PCOC in Western Cape. Apparently there's a problem in Mitchell's Plains. Mission explained about the payment. I'm not so sure whether you know about that. If perhaps they don't know, she would appreciate if they can just one of them find out outside what is the problem in the site there in Mitchell's thing, because apparently people were there since yesterday and even today they have not received or whatever that is happening, because it's not clear. I'm trying to get the person to give me more details. Perhaps that would assist, Chair. I wanted to bring that to your attention, Chair. I think, Chair, coming to the presentation, as one has received earlier and tried to...
I would mind allowing the CEO to entertain your concern outside, because he normally does very well communicating and has been working around this area. Can you do that, Mr. Masham, please?
Mr. Kelly has gone out. No, thank you so much, Chair. I think I really concur with you, Chair. They have been proactive, because I am one of those people that call them from the first stage. If I don't get one of them, I always even go to the CFO to make sure that we find the person when there is a problem. Chair, as I was looking at the report being sent to us from the Secretariat of the Chair, one really needs to appreciate the progress that has been made up to this far. Yes, we need to acknowledge that when you put on the new system, there are always going to be the glitches. It's not going to be straightforward, or everything is going to be as easy as one has thought. Yeah, there were serious problems that we noted in July as we were in our different constituencies. Then I followed them up, those problems, Chair, moving to August. I'm happy because where I am, in the areas that I visited in the Greater Mangaung, because my constituencies, I think, in one of the biggest cash pay payment points in the first state, which is Butabelo. I'm next to there. So I'm able to go and see what was happening. And I was very much happy, Chair. Very much happy now in August that these things are moving very well. Although I was unable to go to one of the cash payment point payments in Profondeng, but then the old people, because my constituency is right in Gats, they came to me and said they've got a change of a 10 grand. I just want to understand the change. They were saying you get your grant and then you go to another ATA or another till point at the cash pay payment where there are 10 rands. There were those 10 rands that were deducted. You remember we talked about the 10 rands. They said they got their 10 rands back at this time. So I wanted to check whether... it's not like it's not true, because when the people, all the people report to you and they were excited about the 10 rands, so you just have to follow whether the issue of the 10 rands, how far is SASA with it, because I remember we talked about it and I remember SASA said they will follow it up, or they are engaging, they did not agree at some stage. Now how far are you with the issue of the 10 rands, now that there's even a change? That the greenies are very excited with the change that they receive of a 10 rand, because currently you withdraw there and then you were given your 10 rand that was taken back. There's something like that, Chair, that I would really want Ms. Sasa to explain on the issue of the 10 rand, how far is the process. Chair, I think really the progress that has been made, like I said, it's very impressive. And then as I was going through the report, I then asked myself that, are we going to have a tender or are we not going to have a tender? Remember the issue for tender was an issue that was well spoken about and everything, that are we going to see SASA not going out to a tender at the end of all of what is happening? Are we going to process the issues ourselves between SAPO and SASA collaboration? Because in my belief, I said to myself, Chair, if we don't go to a tender, it means at least we'll be saving a lot of money. Then government will be able to build its own capacity of making sure that we deliver the mandate, because when you look at the SASA mandate, it says they should be the ones that are doing it. So it doesn't matter whether there's the SAFO collaboration, because it's still government to government. There's not much that we are losing. I just want them to be clear to us today that are we anticipating to go to a tender at the end of all of what is happening here, Chair? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, I think it is only fair, even though you're still in the middle of your logistical and technical nightmare, to say congratulations on not panicking and running and dealing with the issues as they come up. The first question I had, you seem to have answered, and that's about auto card swap in September, because obviously there are going to be people, because right now people are being sent from the bank to the post office and from the post office back to the bank. And then when they go to the SASA offices, there's long queues or they can't get in there, so there's these kind of problems. So that auto swap sounds encouraging, and perhaps if you could just give us the detail. And what of that do we share with people? Because obviously you don't want everybody to stop swapping their cards and just wait for an auto swap. And at the same time, we do want to encourage people that they won't be left without any sort of arrangement. Is the FASA office the only card swap facility? Because as I say, there is this people being sent from the banks to the post office and back again to the banks. And I know my mother, for example, has been doing that for the last few months. So that's an issue. And then hospitals like the Red Cross Children's Hospital, and I should imagine high care, old age homes and things. And there's one particular, I've written to the department about it, and one particular girl, there's no ways that she can actually go physically to do what needs to be done. Are we making an arrangement in terms of hospitals and high care sort of facilities? And then how do people access these home visits? Because obviously, I mean, are you just going to know whose homes to visit? Or if someone knows that somebody needs a home visit, can we have a number or something that we can give people? Thank you.
Yes, I'm covered, Jefferson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Jefferson. Yes, I'd like to align myself also and say well done. And specifically thanking the National Department and my province for assisting, especially during July. I think I was on their back and neck 24/7 because the people were also busy with me. So thank you very much. And keep strong and keep doing the right thing. And well done. And I want to ask out with Ms. Dai, thank you very much, because I've met on a Sunday with Mama Kapa on a weekend, whether she's overseas, wherever. CEO must note, she takes calls anytime, anywhere in the world. That is well done. Thank you, Ms. Dai. And I've only got one problem, Mama Kapa, the issue of the PIN for the elderly and people that are challenged physically, mentally. Some of them can't remember the PIN, whether you give it to them now, tomorrow, or anything. What alternate arrangement can be made for people that can't remember their PIN and won't remember their PIN? I think we should consider that. And because many people, they don't want to write down the PIN because they're scared that the kids will find the PIN and then they won't be able to draw their money. Also, I think during August, I don't know if it's true, but many people communicated with me saying that a 10 rand deduction from SAPO. They went there and there was a 10 rand deduction. So I don't know why that deduction took place. Then in my constituency, people were referred to Baragwana, where Green Road is. I'd like to know why, because if there's a swapping taking place, and SAPO can't assist them with the swapping, why is still Grinrod if we're talking about phasing out? Then why is this still happening? Because people couldn't have spoke to them personally and they couldn't get their new SASA card. They actually had to go to the Baragwana, where I think there's a net one centre there. I don't know how we're going to assist with the infrastructure, but I'm happy to hear that you're working on the infrastructure. In most of the SAPO outlets, there's no place to sit, and it's elderly people. And how would it be made possible for them to to have the accommodation of at least a seat and so on. I don't know what's happening in the rural areas, but in Gauteng it is a problem. The autocar swap sounds good. It should have been from the start. People would have been saved a lot of energy. I hope that everybody will utilize that. And again, I want to ask, my colleague has asked, how do we convey this message to the people if that auto swap will take place? Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I would like to align myself with my colleagues. But we need to give credit where especially members of SASA, they are running around to, like in Soweto, Maponya Mall, the manager there by the name of Funeka, that woman is assisting us a lot. But what Honorable Bevo is raised on the issue of 10 rand, I would like to align myself on that. And against the lines are still long. Maybe can you assist, especially go to Maponya Mall, it's a mall, and you find the granny standing there, and there's a hostel, there's lots of salary that is appealing in Maponya Mall, and they even see the chair when they go to the bank, some of them. So I think we need to assist on that issue. My question that I needed clarity is around your risk. That side, when you said page 14, when you talk about the utilization of the auxiliary social workers, I just wanted to know, doesn't it affect their employment contract? And how are you going to do this? How many auxiliary social workers do SASA utilize, and which provinces are you using them? I will take out them. We do have grannies that can't even go to this outlet chair for issue of changing of the cards. Who's gonna go to their houses? Because they're phoning. I do have numbers of others. I did give it to Funeka, and Funeka said now she's been moved to Bali. You know, so that they want to change their cards, but nobody's going into their houses, including those ones that are in homes. I don't know whether Mazid from the whole to SASA to assist us with. Even if when the presenter said automatically they will transfer them, but for them going to take a card, some of them can walk check. So I think we need to check off that service. Before SASA in Soweto, they used to go to their houses. But recently nobody has come and they are worried. And others have received double payments. You know, they were quoting, we received double payment, can you assist with this one? Can we check why others did receive that double payment last month? This month others did receive their payment. They thought that because of that double payment they won't receive again, but they did. So can we check what is happening on that? But so far I'm happy with the progress that you are doing. And I hope the issue of the expertise, it will come to finality, because if now their bill is 3 something million, we must be worried, because we mustn't raise SASA as we wanted SASA to be on a normal state. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chairperson, we would like to acknowledge and appreciate the feedback from the committee and the comments. In certain areas, they would just enhance our plans going forward in preparation for the end of the term, which is the end of September. I would take a few questions, respond to a few questions, and then Diane will take those that relate to the deductions and the, just also to give a quick feedback, what was the established reason for the Mitchell's plane thing, because she went out to get hold of the manager on the ground. I'll ask Diane to quickly brief the committee about that. And the issue of the AutoCAD swap, I would also give it to Apathy to explain a bit about it. But all we seek to do is to take the database of our people and open accounts for them. And then when they come to receive their money in cash, then we give them their new card at the point of receipt of the their grant. There is a drive with regard to home visits. In fact, this on Women's Day and on Friday, we had a drive where we're doing actual home visits for card swap. Let me appreciate the escalation of the hospitals and high care units. We would reinforce that and make sure that we have a special team that works to focus on those. But with largely, how do people access home visits? It's either they call the call center number, or they actually report to the nearest SAPO or SASA local office. In areas where we have interacted with Mahoshi or traditional leaders, we have also asked them through the wards and the villages that fall within that jurisdiction to assist us so that we can identify people that do not show up to collect their grant and do not know their circumstances. And we have worked very well with councillors in certain wards. They have come with that information, and therefore we have teams that are doing home visits. Let me clarify also the issue of social workers. We are not taking the employed social workers, but we're taking those that have graduated and qualified, but they have not got employment just yet. So it doesn't clash with their work schedule at all. They are not. We give them a stipend of sort, and some of them, we really appreciate the fact that they've been trained to deal with people. So it's very easy for the elderly even to open up to them regarding their circumstances and so on. It is even within that context that at some point would consider, as part of our education program, that these people that cannot show up to come and collect money, they should actually explore or be made aware of the procuratorship, based on Regulation 24 and in certain instances Regulation 25 for institutions that can actually collect these grants on behalf of certain people. I do know, though, that sometimes our people don't trust any other person. So the social worker would have to talk to them, try and portray the benefits of them having somebody they trust to go and collect the money. In our community outreach and educational programs, we do try really to convey the message that let's work together to assist our agent, particularly those that are immobile for a reason or the other. The issue of PIN resetting, the PIN resetting is happening at SAPO, it's happening also at SASA offices, but now we've also expanded the service to make sure that at cash pay points there is capability to do PIN reset. In the long run, honorable members, it will only make sense that when all the payment infrastructure is biometrically enabled, it will be very easy for those that forget their PINs. But we know that some of the banks, actually most of the banks, don't yet have biometric enabled ATMs, as it were. But we make sure that in the catchment areas, large catchment areas, we do have our people patrolling the queues to try and assist the people in that sense. We had an incident, although when I was doing field work, I think in Kukulethu, where the bank security people were not so comfortable to have our people also along the queues and so on. But we tried to clarify that it's just for the purpose of getting our beneficiaries, you know, sorted in terms of questions they might have. With regard to the infrastructure, particularly in Gauteng, Honourable Chairperson, this is a challenge that we can admit, that yes, we do not have readily available chairs or the places to sit them. But we are improving that. What we've said to the regional executive managers is that they assess the situation and then if possible they can instantly get seating arrangements. We are doing it in a more dignified way, but if you could look the old pain points, they were sitting on the grass, they were sometimes sitting in the field, you know, without shirt or anything. So, but that doesn't really correct the situation. All we're saying is where the queue is building up and such dignitary services are required, we have empowered our regional management people to urgently try and deal with the situation. And we've seen that work in certain areas. The community also and NGOs actually came and gave the people some soup where it was cold and so on, of which we really appreciate that kind of partnership. With regard to the Maponya situation, we will pass the commendations of the committee member, but also we acknowledge the appreciation of the good work that Diane is doing in terms of taking calls, we really appreciate that. The long queues, part of the work that the social workers and the auxiliary social workers will assist us over and above home visits is to try and do queue marshalling to be able to determine the condition of the people so that the person doesn't get complications in the queue, no one sees them because everybody else is focusing on getting to the front. So we do want to use them as well, and the regional managers are actually working with them to try and get them to assist in queue marshalling. I think I will leave the issue of double payment. That one I was not aware of, Honourable Chairperson, of double payment, but if Diane has been made aware of, I would like it to just give comment in that regard. But other than that, I will give Diane just to deal with the issue of 10 rand and the issue of the double payment if she has observed that the Mitchell's Plain issue, and then we can finalize some comments. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
longer paying to the part of their cost. So there is no one who will go without payment. We will make sure we go from our account. Thank you so much.
Their stay because it is not free.
So they will continue to have some reason why they should continue, because they were supposed to do particular work, though we don't have terms of reference. But they are now going out to pilot places as well, and they are completely getting into our terrain again, because theirs was to ensure implementation. I don't know whether they advised the minister, but they are now to an extent of playing an oversight role as to whether implementation is taking place, but the amount is really huge. So we are very clear that they don't report to us, but also are very clear that we are in charge of the budget of social development, SASA, and therefore we should guard against any way of taking us back to the days of CBS in one way or another. So I think we will also be orientated in a manner that some issues that members have raised as to whether we will continue moving towards a private company in the form of CPS or in the form of cash payments. I think that discussion we should be taking up with the minister as well, because we also have to advise the minister and make specific recommendations to Parliament after that, to say when we interact with the minister, we will understand more better. Because as I see as well, we don't seem to be in a need of that tender going out anymore. Because I think USASA is developing that capacity of overarching on city, on the post-SAPO to do the right thing. And these two departments, these two components, can complement each other towards reducing the cost of saving our people. So I think also I've emphasized the fact that good work has been done, and your predisposition to our people as SASA, you were very good and very down to earth to respond. You know, our poor people have never been having a grace of being treated fairly and understood that they are also human beings. And I think this should be so much emphasized that social development as well have forgotten that very important component of a profession of social workers, to be able to have inroads in a society and able to actually approach a person, that person can open up. So I think that this arrangement you are taking towards our people is going to empower them to raise their issues. Because some can have deductions, cannot be paid, but sometimes they feel, if I ask, I will not give them. If I complain, I will not be given this money. But at least now, they see that if you raise an issue, the more they come and assist. So we say we appreciate that, and I think I wanted to say only those, and your reports are also very much readable, and you can follow them clearly. And also, that's why we wanted to, you remember the minister, when she first came here, she said, we want to move out of court. That is why we were asking you as to, are we still in the same vein that we want to come out of court so that we can be creative and innovative as such? So we thank you for the report, but I will allow Honorable okay, she's fine. I think members were supposed to have enough time, because we specialized to have SASA only today, except in committee matters. But if we are done, I will then conclude and allow them to leave. And leave. We do have plenty time on the agenda.
I think before you conclude, like the last time when they gave us enough information about the cash point that was still there, now that we are phasing out, reducing the cash pay point, I would really appreciate, I think even other honorable members in the different provinces, that to know, for example, which ones in perhaps in Free State, where we will still be having the cash payment, so that one can go and do the visit. And these visits really share the help, because once they see somebody, they see parliament, they see people who are caring, and you are even able to take the information, better the information that is given out by the media anyway, you are able to communicate it to them as beneficiaries. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, that's an important point, with the point that's still a concern, is that these pay points are also economic areas where people go and sell. And in some areas, it's only the market that can be available. So just closing them down might also spoil our very good cake. And also, I will really appeal to SASSA members, when they approach this issue of traditional leadership, we must not forget that it's not about houses. It's about traditional authorities. Because houses is where they voluntarily get associated. If you go to the house of traditional leaders in Eastern Cape, you have not gone to the king. And for the heads of traditional authorities to be present. So the approach also can actually, the protocol is very critical, because sometimes SASSA goes to these people or the minister because they are secretaries of Contralesa. That's their association, their union. All you need to do is to go to this kingdom, and then your visit must be pronounced in such a manner that these traditional authorities that fall under that are invited. And if you go to a traditional authority, which is the counterpart of a council, you will have the headmen as being invited to the traditional authority, because it has been given an authority. So the kingdom has been given a place as the regional authority at that level, regional authority, and then the traditional authority. So they really take care of that protocol. And sometimes if it is flawed, because your Contralesa doesn't have a platform for ordinary traditional communities. Their platform is with individual and membership, like their union. And the house is like policy level, dealing in the main with the legislature. So they are at a legislature level. That representation is to advise legislature about traditional issues. And when you come to the kingdom, it then represents heads of traditional authority. And therefore, it's actually able to give the message out. And if you go to zoom in a traditional authority, the full authority that can invite the headmen for them to have their smaller nyana ones, where we usually go in the morning in this one, say that Jaban Magasasa, but, so that one works well. But I'm very excited and happy that you're working with councillors, because councillors are supposed to be doing door-to-door. Councillors are supposed to be in contact with our people. They are the real coordinators of our services and information service giving. But we also have your CTWs at that level. But I think you're growing enough to reach a stage where you will be having your SASSA people with the councillor at a council ward level
talking to all these people we are referring to in order to reduce the burden of having to move from national to a village. So I think also the mere fact that councillors, I've had councillors phoning me too, and I was really feeling that this is good because they now understand that it's not about SASA, it's not about social development, it's about our people. And you have seen times when a traditional leader spoke to one yesterday, he was saying, I'm in the SASA office, the social worker is here, I'm complaining about my member of society who has come five times and has not been assisted. But I was happy because the traditional leader, I said, give the official the phone so that I can talk to her or him. But it's happening now that everyone has a duty to look after the weak in our society. So your opening up is reminding us of Dada Shweya, who established SASA specifically to deal with the poverty and even eradicate it. But we haven't read much, except when I read something written by Dada Vusi Madonsela, noting that policies in South Africa were supposed to be based around social development as a place because the majority is poor in our country. So continue the good work, and I think matters that were being raised and the issues, the glitches about cars and pins in Kailisha or Michelle's plane must be also looked after now. I think I need to read this. Thank you very much for attending to this meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the committee.
Hey, it's a then it's all.
Order.